Good morning. I'm going to come back to what you said, Daryl. I am blessed by you sharing that story because it's a God thing tying to what's going on this morning. But it is true that we've got 3 hours together and I've got 4 hours of content. So we're going to have to move a little bit quickly. But I am excited to be hanging out with you this morning. I know I say it every time, but I am literally shout it from the rooftops kind of excited about what's happening in our life. And I don't want to get tired of it, and I don't want to apologize for it, and I'm not going to. I'm not going back. Thank you. I mean, I hope so, the only way I know not to is to continue to talk about it. That's the only way, because I know what the last 45 of the 50 years look like. And it was 5 or 6 years ago that somebody stood in front of a room like this and said, I don't know much, but I know my God. And something broke that moment that I didn't know about till 4 o'clock this morning when God said, all that you've been experiencing happened at that moment. And it had to do with breaking from here to get to here. And so anyway, all that I guess was a somehow good morning. I know it's strange. Yeah, whatever it was, yeah. So I'm going to actually sit for a little while, which those of you who joined me the last couple few times know that the range of the floor and me talking with my hands, Sal, I guess I have some Italian in me, right? I think, Daryl, it was so cool what you shared just because you just modeled for us. It's just another story. It's just someone saying, I decided to believe God. I decided to believe God instead of just sit in a pew and try and feel better for a little bit. That old Huey Lewis song got brought to my mind this week as I'm thinking about Sunday. I want a new drug. And so we had all kinds of ways to try and avoid pain or get out of pain our whole life. At whatever stage you then met Jesus, you felt, I don't need that anymore. But then religion and man's attempts to perform rush in, and it becomes just a new drug. It just becomes a new way. None of that is my topic. So why don't we open up with prayer and then dig in a little bit. And Father God, I am just so thankful right now to keep the prayer to two words, grace and peace. Stand on that with my friends here. I thank you that you, through Paul so many times, open and closed almost every time you communicated, with just that blessing, that promise, that invitation for grace, unmerited, unabounding, unlimited favor, and then peace, shalom, nothing missing and nothing broken. You are our shepherd. We shall not want. Thanks, Holy Spirit. He just reminded me that's way more than two words, so amen. that's funny. Okay, so authenticity. I thought it was interesting that on our website as a community, there's a section that says learn more, I think. And then under learn more, there's three buttons. And one of those buttons is what we believe. Everything on there rocks. It just speaks to the finished work of Christ, and it's worth reviewing. Then the next one is authentic community. And then the next one, I don't remember, but it's good, I'm sure. I think it's it's questions. God questions, questions that we know people have, so why not authentically address them head on? They're the same things that each one of us brought, either as a brand new Christian embracing grace at its full sozo, transformative, you know, healing of body, soul, and spirit, or if someone who's been in the church and has been involved in mixture a little bit throughout their journey and trying to figure out how to do good so that they can get good and behave. And so then all of a sudden we show up and there are these questions. If we consider, I don't have one, 100-foot measuring tape. You know, usually you have the 20-foot or 15-foot in your garage or whatever. Well, on a construction site, they have one that goes 100 feet. And I would have loved to have had one and stretched it all the way out and said, just for fun, let's say that each foot represents 1 year. And so plus or minus 20, since the Bible says you and I are good for 120 years, plus or minus 10 or 20, fine. We would take that from a perspective standpoint. 1 foot would be about this much of this long tape that would be stretched out, right? So that 1 foot is 1 year. 1 year. So then what's 1 month? What's 1 day? What's 1 hour? Can you see it from the back? Can you see between my hands? But that's 1 hour, right? That's it. So perspective-wise, in talking about everything we're going to talk about today, I'd love you to imagine that 100-foot tape being here, just to put things back in perspective. But when I was sitting constantly in a performance space, when I was sitting in this mixture space, I was constantly directed by my own memories that had been given to me, by teachings, by all these resources and references that would say, don't look at the big picture. Don't remember the perspective of a God that loves you, created you, pursued you, died for you, claimed you forever. And instead, let's look at this scripture out of the real context. Because then sometimes people back off to the paragraph and they claim they have perspective now. Or maybe even to the book. And then maybe they go to a little bit of seminary training, not to dishonor anyone who's done seminary, thank goodness you have, so we can learn from you. But they'll go to that space and say, well, the book was written at this time for these people who were believing this at the time and understood, which is all great context, but the ultimate perspective is even bigger than that. Does that make sense? Okay, so anyway, back to this authentic community thing. Why wouldn't we read it together once in a while? So if I may, when people find something really interesting and something they feel is worth their time and attention, they tend to want to talk about it. When people talk, community forms. Such is the case with the shout it from the rooftop or housetop good news of God's grace. Such is the case with the shout it from the housetop good news of God's grace. The finished work of Christ on our behalf is just that, good news for all ages and all generations. The more we discover what Christ has accomplished on our behalf, the more amazed and grateful we become. That's what I hear when Daryl gets up and talks about his dad believing for a car that never breaks down out on the road. And then he says, why wouldn't I choose the same thing? And why wouldn't I come here and shout it from the rooftop and get somebody else excited to remember something that they believed God for? A lion that he delivered you from, just like David. A bear that he delivered you from, just like David. Or, hey, since he delivered me from all those, and Daryl, you know what? I'm going to claim it for me like my dad claimed it for him. Shout it from the rooftop. Good news. You want to talk about it. Grace Church of Orlando was founded to discover, teach, and live out the glorious reality of God's grace lavished upon us. While we desire to share this good news with everyone who will listen, we also want to live out its bountiful truth and implications in a community of love and acceptance. The fact of the matter is that the work of redemption, justification, and sanctification was given to Jesus alone. Everything that was and is lacking on our end due to sin was completely and perfectly satisfied by Jesus' death and resurrection. The Father's requirement of relationship upon righteousness and holiness was placed fully upon Jesus' shoulders. If he had failed in any aspect, we would have no hope now or ever. How wonderful to know that we are no longer under the law. How wonderful to know we are no longer under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14, and now we can come boldly before the throne. We can boldly walk into the presence of our daddy and just hang out. Just be authentic. Just be naked. Just be real. Just be so, and find mercy in our time of need. Is this cool hearing it? Right? It's part of our, so thanks for hanging with me on it. So finally, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life full and abundant. John 10:10, to have it full and abundant. Also, that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Right? From John 8, whatever, 8:32. And then Jesus adds, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That by itself is worth talking about, which I said when we started out, I'm not going back, Galatians 5:1. I'm not going back into slavery. If somebody wants to hear this joy and this happiness and write a letter and say that, you know, that we're too happy, well, let them write. And anyway, I'm not going back. On your behalf, I'm looking in the camera, I'm telling our leadership, I'm telling Clark, I'm telling Bill, we're not going back, we expect you not to go back. Don't back down from the good news that you share and you stand on for us ever. Please never, ever stop. And if people can't handle it and don't like it, I'm sorry, we love you, and we're going to keep standing on love till you come back and find that the grass wasn't greener. So, sorry. Anyway, so let's talk, and even more so, let's experience the joy and the privilege of our Christian faith together instead of concentrating our conversations on behavior modification and religious duty. Let's talk about grace, God's amazing grace, and how the finished work of Christ transforms our lives. That's on our website about authentic community, but I realize I can't show up and be authentic in community with you if I'm not embracing authenticity, and I even say it cautiously because I said it as if there's something I have to do. And I first started making notes and realized that they were leading me to what I'm not doing to be authentic. And then I've even shared here, I've said, you know, my challenge is I don't like people. I've declared that I love people, I just don't like, I'm not good, but guess what that is? It's just a fear of intimacy. That was all it was. I just had to get real and go, wait, why am I declaring this? Why am I professing this? And so so I'll come back to that in a second. So why not this authenticity thing? Why wouldn't we read it but then look at what it means to be more authentic? And then at the same time, make sure that we're biblically sound. You know, because authenticity scares people. And all of a sudden, it scares people. So let's see if there's any scripture that invites us to be transparent. And so Psalm 32, just in the Message, happens to be a great translation. I'm doing a lot of reading today, but it's just life. So if you would, join me in listening to God speak to our heart. Count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you, and you're holding nothing back from him. This is me speaking. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. Has anyone lived day-long groans? By the way, most people that have known me my whole life would say I'm one of the most positive people they've ever known. And I'm telling you, day-long groans. Day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. All the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. Boldly I'll come before the throne. It's not saying that I'm grabbing another piece, taking it all out of context, messing up scripture. No. Suddenly the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. These things add up. Every one of us needs to pray when all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts. I see we're authentic. I said hell. We'll be on high ground, untouched. God's my island hideaway, keeps danger from the shore, throws garlands of hosannas around my neck. Let me give you some good advice. I'm looking you in the eye and giving it to you straight. Don't be ornery like a horse or mule that needs bit and bridle to stay on track. God defilers are always in trouble. God affirmers find themselves loved every time they turn around. Celebrate God. Sing together. Everyone, all you honest hearts, raise the roof. And we attend a church that said, from the rooftop, shout it from the rooftop. And it's just saying, here, let's raise the roof so we can be heard and shout it from the rooftop. Although if we raise it, I don't know how we stand on it. But anyway. But by the way, even when it says, don't be ornery like a horse or mule, the world I came from would find a way to try and put me back in chains there. But in the next sentence, he says, if you're a defiler, you're always in trouble. Your car breaks down on the road because you're defying trusting him. But you and your dad decided to be God affirmers and affirm that my daddy loves me. And if his car does break down on the road, and I'm not speaking it over him, it's not going to. Even if it did, is he still a God affirmer? Heck yeah. Is God working it together for good? We know that. So anyway, this thing about authenticity, why aren't we? Because we've been taught to live from the outside in. We live in a world that has trained us to work from the outside in instead of the inside out. And I think if we go back to that perspective thing, right, the 100 feet was just 100 years of life, say for me or for you. Now let's imagine we instantly just join our spirits seated in heavenly places. I was just going to say go up 30,000 feet, but heck, let's go all the way, man. Let's go to our seats in heavenly places, right? And let's look down. First of all, from up there, really, perspective-wise, would we even see the tape? Would we even see the state that it's sitting on, Florida? I mean, from up there, we'd see just you know what I mean? Has anyone seen that Louis Giglio thing where he does and pulls back from universe and like to universes of universes and how infinitesimal. So from way back there, right, how much would it matter? Well, I'm suggesting we stay at 30,000 feet now for our perspective and look just at the timeline of the world and look at the garden. Adam and Eve in perfect relationship with God, they fall. Sin comes in. We're all under sin. It professes all the way to this love story of the pursuit of God who said, I think, now this is my paraphrase, I want us to have real, authentic love. The only way that can happen is for there to be choice. The only way that there can be choice is if there's consequence. So there's going to be consequence. And the only way you're going to get out of consequence is to have it made right and pay the price, but you can't do it. So Christ comes, he pays the price. We're all now forever redeemed, forever, right, in oneness, all that. Well, anyway, back to that perspective now, that story, that timeline, that love story. In the garden, there was a tree of what? And a tree of? So that tree of life and everything that was available, he is the shepherd. There was no want. There was no condemnation. There was no shame. There was no guilt. There was no fear. There was none of that, right? That was the deal, okay? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I look at it as me simply seeking to be right, self-right, self-righteousness. It's me looking, turning to a future that doesn't have God, at least in this moment, whatever it is I'm worried about and trying to figure out the answer and take another apple and eat of it, I'm now trying to be self-right instead of what I already am, righteous because of what Christ did, right? So if I'm outside in and I'm saying I want, I'm going to cut a whole section. What happened when they ate from the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Yeah, those loaded questions are no fair. Just say Jesus. No, in church, if you say that, there's a 90% chance you're right. No, what happened was they went into hiding. Right, all kinds of things happened, but one of the things is they went into hiding, and from that moment till this, there's been a reinforced pattern. Over and over and over again, reinforced and modeled for you and modeled for me, that says hide. If I feel shame, anger, fear, sorrow, mourning, condemnation, any of those things, I should hide. I should self-protect. It's automatically causing me to reinforce and create a responsive, reflexive reactions to a stimulus that comes. So whatever gets thrown at us, we've been trained so much to go, wait, protect myself. Wait, Now they can't see me. Can you see me? Oh, okay. Right? But that we somehow we're hiding behind, and the truth is we know we're not hidden. So now we go deeper, but that creates a pattern. And the result can become an identity. It was interesting when I was putting that stuff down, the frustration, confusion, not knowing, sadness, sorrow, mourning, anger, those things are considered to be bad, bad, bad. So we need to do something about it. When in fact, those things are nothing more than a blessed opportunity to realize I have just forgotten who I am and whose I am. So identity is such a big thing, and it's something that I think Clark teaches on so much, whether he's using the word identity or not. He's reminding us constantly of who we are because of what Christ did, right? So has anyone quit smoking in here successfully? Besides my wife, I know that. Okay, awesome. So I don't know if you guys will relate to this. We've talked about this at length, and it just, even though I wasn't a smoker, it so resonates for me. I'm not a smoker because I don't smoke because I'm not a smoker. My identity is just non-smoker. I'm not judging anyone who does. I'm just telling you, I couldn't smoke because it's not my identity. Beth would share when she smoked, she was a smoker. And trying to quit wasn't the deal, right? That wasn't the answer. It was one day she allowed her identity to change and believed a truth that I'm a non-smoker. It's done. Done. That's her identity. Now, the challenge we have, if we take that into our daily life, is someone might say, well, I did accept Christ. I did believe at one time that my identity is right with God, righteous. But why do I do this and why do I do that? And what? It's just a reminder. It's just an opportunity. I'm not saying that Beth never had to remind herself she's a non-smoker, right? Or that, and I don't know why I picked an example of somebody else when I've got so many as well, other identities. I just look at the world we live in, and isn't it interesting? We've had all this training on hiding and thinking that things that have no power are actually powerful and bad. If I get angry right now, something happens and I get mad. Can that do anything to change my righteousness with God? Can it do anything to change my sanctified, glorious, forever intimacy with him and forever? No, right? But somehow, when I get angry, there's shame because I shouldn't have gotten angry at the person who cut me off or whatever that case might be, right? When instead, it's just an invitation to go, wait a minute, this is me somehow believing in a future that doesn't have God. This is me somehow choosing to be self-right, to protect myself, and as soon as I recognize it, then it's just an opportunity to create a new, I believe, what is becoming responsive, reflexive. I should have gone through those things. Maybe you've heard them before. But at first, my wife's eyebrows, thank you. Just warned me that would take too much time. Thank you. If you get the concept, responsive, reflexive, it would just be something that's instinct now. It just happens more often than not. And I spent many decades more often than not hiding, feeling guilty, feeling shame, feeling those things. I've now spent going on whatever it is, 4 or 5 years, allowing the refreshing surrender to the truth of who I am to more and more and more and more. I surrender, the identity is affirmed, and from that place, in rest, somehow I can't explain it, it melts away. Somehow it was that easy. It doesn't make sense, right? But it happens. You go to Isaiah 40:27-31, where he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and you know where we go and from time standpoint, just, well, it's so awesome. His understanding, Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous, young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. They'll remember who they are more naturally. They'll walk in that strength and freedom. They won't be afraid of anger. They won't be afraid of sorrow or sadness. Or they'll just go, oh, wait a minute. What is this? And go, you take it, Daddy. And Daddy rushes in and next thing you know, it's gone. So here we live in an age of incredible information, right? Access to information. If we're going to be authentic with each other, how many of us will admit that you get a little scared about the impact that that could have on the children of the future and on the future of our country and the future of our world, okay? So just about everyone raised their hands, right? And if you camp out on that, you see news and the promulgation of news and what they do with Ebola and what they do with this and how they just, you know, how constantly, right, that stuff is coming at us. You can't help but start, I shouldn't say you can't. So often we feel like that's bad. It's worse than it was. And yet every generation has always said that. We go, yeah, but this one's different. There's never been the internet, right? May I suggest to you, and I do have some credibility in that I've got a 25-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 12-year-old, so I've been through stages. I realize some of you have then kids and grandkids, but I'm in it. It's raw. It's real at multiple stages. My hair was first black, then gray black, now gray with a little black through those kids, right? So I've got, so again, less hair. Thanks. My loving wife. So here's the deal. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Information is neither good or bad. What it does require is more authenticity. The children of today, they know more, so they know when you're full of crap. I'm sorry, that's the truth. And they're sick and tired of inauthentic living. So they'll do whatever to be free from the lie that they see the majority of zombies. Why are zombies so popular right now? The zombie shows? I'm telling you, in the spirit, this is not for me. Daddy told me through the Holy Spirit. It is a metaphor for them of what the world looks like in mommy and daddy putting on a tie and going to work, hating life, coming home, taking some sort of medication through a drink or this or that, which, by the way, I very much enjoy what I enjoy in life, but I don't medicate my life away. I don't want to miss an inch on that 100-foot piece. I don't want to not be in the intimacy that Daddy and I have when I just let go of everything. I don't want that. Why would I disconnect when I can be connected to that? That doesn't mean I don't do it. I'm not claiming, I'm saying, but why would, from this moment when I'm talking to you, why wouldn't I choose that? And by talking about it, guess what? I'm going to choose it a little bit more today. And because Beth and I talk about it all the time, it's happening more. I thought she was crazy 6 years ago. She'd walk around the house talking to herself all the time. I'd wake up in the middle of the night. She'd be sitting in bed at 3 a.m, talking truth out of her mouth, speaking truth over and over again. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look in the mirror. I am the righteousness of God. Put it up on the mirror. I'm not making fun of it. I'm saying she would continue to speak truth. But the more we talk about truth, the more authentic we are, the less hiding we are, the more authentic community there is, the more we shout it from the rooftop, in other words. So I just, that whole kid thing is a whole opportunity for us to dig into at another time, whether it's us, whoever. It's a big deal. We shouldn't fear information. We should just acknowledge that it calls for authenticity. I wanted to hide my 12-year-old daughter like I did my two sons from the world. And I had this crazy, you know, talk to herself walking around the house, amazing woman. Yeah, okay, right, meditating. But as far as raising our daughter goes, She's been transparent. She's been real. She's been flawed. And I'm watching it, and the garden is blossoming. You mean dumping the poop on the flower makes it grow better? You mean being honest causes your daughter to trust you? You mean being honest causes your daughter to turn the channel by choice, or to cover her eyes and say, turn it off, please? Or to walk out of a movie we paid for? It was just The Avengers. I went in under guilt and condemnation. Who takes a child? I get that it's PG, whatever it was. But there's violence. There's The Avengers, if you know the movie. I'm like, well, I judged everyone who brought kids to young movies, like those movies, and exposed them to images they don't need. What, like they're not getting it? So be authentic. She wanted to go. Go sit with her. Go watch it first if you need to or want to. Sit with her, and so we did. But in the middle of the movie, there was a part she went, Daddy, she jumped my lap, and she said, can we go? And we left. That's not because she's afraid she'll be punished. That's not because she's been taught to fear emotion. It's because there's been authentic living in front of her where her spirit was free to go, I don't like this. I'd like to go back to the happy place, where I know who I am, and I know my shepherd's got me, and I know when I go to the kitchen table, there'll be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that automatically materialized there without me having to worry about it. Or when I pull into the driveway, my car will work all the way to the driveway. Because I trust my daddy. Authenticity is being free to say, I don't understand, I don't know. I don't know much, but I know my God. I don't have to have the answers. Outside in says, I need to know why. Beliefs, I were taught, was taught, and there's two different ways of looking at the word belief. If you consider as a metaphor, a tabletop as a belief. How strong that belief is based on the number of legs that are underneath the table, right? So this table is not as strong, right? It would fall over more easily than if there were four or five other legs on it, right? Well, each leg is a reference. It's an encounter, an experience, a teaching, a pain, a whatever it is that happened that gave me a reference that said, if somebody cuts me off in traffic, they better get theirs. If somebody cheats me, I'm going to cheat them. If my wife is frustrated and angry and disappointed, I don't even know why, but it turns out because she did something she wished she didn't do with our daughter and saw and felt bad about, who knows? I don't know. But if she then therefore is having a rough day and reacts in a way that causes me to feel rejected, I have every right to be pissed off and expect her to get her crap together, don't I? That's my reference, right, that I would have, that I keep building on and reinforcing and keep building. And all of a sudden, I have this belief that, you know, so the beliefs that come from the outside in will always lead us to a distorted view of things. Whereas, as we prepare to bring it all to a close. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you led me through cutting off the stuff you didn't want to cover, but and jump to the stuff that you did. So the belief and the reference, I want to close that loop. There is the outside in. Thank you. I love that you're with me and helping. All of you stay helping me stay on track with this. It is the concept that faith belief is different than knowledge belief. The tree of life, it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. And faith is what? Just believing in what's not seen. And what's belief? It comes from, there's a hope. A confident expectation is the definition of hope. So I know it doesn't make sense. I'm Jewish background, half my family's Jewish, was raised Jewish, was bar mitzvah. My other half was backwoods North Carolina, was little wooden pews in a basement church, Onward Christian Soldier, that whole right experience. So I had both. But I remember just 3 years ago, 2 years ago, with a guy from New York in business, raised Jew, active Jewish, and he looks at me and he goes, "You're Jewish? I don't understand. How do you buy into this whole thing?" And I looked at him, and instead of all the years of normally wanting to throw knowledge at his request for knowledge, I went, "Dude, my experience of peace and joy has so trumped and overridden anything I could possibly explain to you, I got no answer. I don't know much. I just know I would never give back what I have now." And he goes, "I get it." He goes, "It's only belief. I can't do it." He looked me in the eye, said, "I can't do it. I understand." He literally was standing. He goes, "I get it." Brilliant guy. He goes, "You're telling me all I need to do is choose to say, I believe, and I can't do it." I said, "I get it, man. It's okay, but at least you know where it is and know what if you, you know," so that what if, and I won't, you know, go down that whole piece, but the, so this authenticity thing, I do think it's worth visiting Ephesians, wrapping up with Ephesians 4, we'll just do 17 through 27. Replace anger with anything you want here, but I'm excited about a community that's focused on being an authentic community. I'm excited about continuing to grow in authenticity, and I'm excited about a God and his word that invites us to that. So let's look and see if it's real. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, that abundant life that we talked about earlier, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And that, first of all, please remember, he's only talking about non-believers there. Because the world, the religious world we were brought up in wants us to believe we have those problems still. He was only talking about non-believers. Having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do I get renewed? It's not something I press into and work on myself. I just accept the new life that was given to me. Period. I just remind myself, as Daryl did, hey, my dad claimed this, I can claim this. Boom, done, end of story. And put on the new self. It's an identity. Put on the new self. Non-smoker never smokes again. Right with God, never unrighteous again. Which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now watch, here's where it's going. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Now, I know the teaching here is don't use that as an excuse to go get revenge or whatever. I think it also, and I know I'm taking liberty here, be angry, yet do not sin. Don't let your anger cause you to hide from God. Don't run back to the law, to self-protection, to self-righteousness. That's the real sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Feel, but don't internalize and digest it and let it become part of who you are. Feel it, deal with it, face it, homie. Face it. Now, get it out instead of taking something toxic right now. And we'll close and pray so you can get another refill of coffee. If I handed out a pill to every single one of you and said, this is poison, would you, by an act of your will, knowingly take it and digest it? No way. And yet, today, you're going to get angry about something probably. You're going to get disappointed about something. You're going to get frustrated about something. Will you digest it or will you admit it? I don't know why I'm angry. I don't know why I'm frustrated, but I am. So please, I'm sorry, honey, I am. I'm going to be authentic with you. I'm not going to go, I'm fine. The times I've told her I'm fine, when I'm not, and caused her to feel less loved and less intimate is appalling. Thank goodness for grace from her and grace from God. So anyway, hopefully it's an invitation for all of us to consider the new self that's already ours and the authentic opportunity we have and choice we have each day. So I love hanging out. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you long for authenticity. You gave us everything we need in Christ Jesus. We say it, we read it, we speak it, we come here to celebrate it. I'm thankful that we get to now continue shouting it from the rooftop together, sharing with one another at the picnic today, when we get together on Sundays, at small groups here at church, whatever the case might be. God, thank you that your goodness is reflected in each every one of us. We say yes, God, right now as an act of our will. We say yes to everything you've already given us and to the fact that you want us to have life to the full, have it abundantly, reign through that identity of Christ in us. Thank you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.